No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this fourth day of June 2020. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. This season of unrest in the aftermath of the death of Houston native George Floyd while in Minneapolis police custody has been a wake-up call on many levels for Texans and Americans nationwide. It's not that prior to this incident there was any shortage of stories or videos documenting the unequal treatment of African Americans and people of color by police. But the apparent disregard for human life, the officer kneeling on the neck of an African American man begging for his life, struck a nerve that people could no longer ignore without standing up to take action themselves. In the minds of many, such images make a mockery of police slogans like "to protect and to serve," amid so much evidence of a missing asterisk, rightfully raising the questions, who's being served and who do police think they are protecting those protected people from? These are questions that sting to a society that purports to be committed to equality under the law, to say nothing of cities that embrace a reputation as being more progressive, cities like Austin, Texas. Though, as both the Texas Tribune and the Austin American Statesman note in today's editions, the fuse for these protests was lit long ago, and now communities like Austin are being forced to re-examine how closely real life matches wishful thinking. Few people have seen both sides of this story as well as Art Acevedo has, having once worked as police chief in the city of Austin, which embraces a message of diversity. He is now the PD chief for what is the most diverse city in Texas, namely Houston. And as some chiefs were committed to ratcheting up a show of force on the streets as protesters took them over, Acevedo took a notably different approach. Chief Acevedo, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
A striking image of you from earlier this week where you appeared to be joining protesters in the streets demanding change in policing. And at the time you said, "I will march until I can't stand no more." Were you just trying to tamp down tensions there, or were you trying to make a statement about the validity of their concerns?
Well, I think it's all the above. When you take the time to march with an aggrieved community and you get to see up close and personal the pain in the eyes of a lot of our black members of our community and other members of our community, and you see the deep-seated pain of not just the issues of systemic problems and policing that impacts communities of color and poor communities, including white poor communities, but also the disproportionality that's gone on for generations involving the employment sector, the health sector, the education sector. It is life-changing, and it's deeply affected me and I think a lot of our police officers that have been marching, not to mention the fact that when you look at the video, the death of George Floyd, handcuffed, under control, with four officers available to simply pick him up as he asked for mercy and it called out for his mama. If that doesn't touch someone's heart, then they either have no heart or they're surely part of the problem. So we share in that pain. We feel that pain. And I'm glad that we are all here in this department trying to do our best to help our community grieve and exercise their rights in a lawful manner.
Having said that, Chief, you're the top cop in Houston, and to see you marching with protesters, aren't you worried about how many in your own department might take that, especially since some, if not many, of the protesters right now certainly see the police as the enemy?
You know what? I think that some of the protesters see the police as the enemy. And I'm talking about a very small number see all police as the enemy. I mean, there's an abolitionist movement in this country where some people believe that there should be no police. And the truth of the matter is the majority of the folks that are protesting bad policing, unconstitutional policing, and criminal policing, and absolutely support the good police officers. They just hate police officers that abuse the badge and when we do nothing about it as a profession.
I want to understand, though, something that you seem to be trying to express. Mike Hixenbaugh of the Houston Chronicle tweeted out images of you talking to a group of demonstrators, and you were quoted as saying, "This isn't Austin, Texas, where they're diverse as long as they're east side of 35. This is Houston, Texas, and for the people in Austin who want to tear this S up, you're in the wrong effing city." What were you trying to say?
You know what? I found myself in the middle of a crowd by myself there was people there that were yelling about they're from Austin. And there were actually people that weren't African-American coming to this minority-majority city, where the truth of the matter is the reason things are going here so well is that our community, we all come together as, above all else, Houstonians, no matter our disagreements. And these people were there, I'm from Austin, yelling, screaming, trying to incite the crowd. And I made it real clear that you don't try to incite my community, because our community here, we don't play that. And at the end of the day, Houston is the city of tomorrow. And I'm really proud to be here with my fellow Houstonians.
From the start, and as president of the Major Cities Chiefs Association, you've condemned the police conduct that resulted in Floyd's death. But these kinds of incidents, as you well know, Chief, are not new. I mean, they're almost routine in their frequency. And each time there's admonition, but ultimately the reforms that are promised don't seem to get much traction, at least if judging by the videos that are posted and judging by the testimony that we hear from people of color across the nation. Why should the public trust police to police themselves?
Well, first of all, let me make something clear. Policing isn't as bad as those that want to make it go away altogether and abolish policing is. And we're not perfect. I mean, we've got issues to deal with and problems to deal with. But here's the elephant in the room. There's societal issues that go well beyond policing that lead towards the anger, because this anger is not just fueled by what happened to George Floyd and other people at the hands of police. It's also fueled by what happens in society day in and day out in all segments of society. And the solution isn't just police. We need the tools and the reforms and the laws that need to be changed by legislatures and Congress. And we're going to put together those proposals, and then we're going to provide them to our legislative leaders, and then we're going to let the community know who voted, and they're going to have to answer to the community. We're going to be their eyes and ears.
All right. So I have no doubt that there aren't some lawmakers and some policymakers listening to us right now. What do you tell them that needs to change?
You know, what are the use of force policies? I've read that in Minneapolis, their policy allowed a carotid control hold in 2020. That is just outrageous. I don't know of any other department that allows the carotid, artery. Yeah. We need to have some nationwide conversations on that. You know, a bad cop registry, so we know who's out there. There are a lot of things that can help us police the bad police.
Chief, a lot of people, particularly those in more comfortable circumstances who are watching this from afar on television, are getting an eyeful of, and not to be flip here, what their tax dollars are paying for. And the look isn't good right now. And already we know that cities are going to be facing a huge impact on their bottom lines as a result of the pandemic alone. If other city services, libraries, for instance, or for that matter, utilities are impacted by these budget cuts, should the police take cuts too, or should the police funding be off limits?
I think that everything should be on the table, and our budget process should be very transparent. But if we can just print money like we've done recently because of COVID, the question that I would ask myself is, why haven't we done that to deal with mental health, to deal with addiction, to deal with the issues that end up driving people to make decisions that create the conflict in the first place in this country? And so, you know, we need to pay attention, and we all need to come to the table to move our nation forward.
You've been generous with your time, Chief. One more question, because you mentioned transparency, and I know you've been an advocate for it. But, yeah, of course, there has been an issue about, say, six officer-involved shootings there, yeah, in Houston, where the department has refused to release video. And I know you've said this has been in deference to family members. Yeah. But now, more than ever, I think a lot of people see a certain inconsistency. If family members were to say it's okay to release that, would you be okay with it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I think you're in Austin. Our DA, as soon as the grand jury process was over, they always released everything. But remember a sad tragedy involving David Joseph in Austin, a naked African-American 17-year-old kid who was standing in the middle of the street. And I fired that young man, and young activists were demanding that we release the tape. And what I told them at that time, and I'm telling my community here, this is a melting pot in Harris County. If an officer gets charged would you want our very diverse jury pool to be able to make the decision on what happens? Or do you want to take a chance if all the tapes are released before the criminal trial and then there's a change of venue? And now we end up in a part of Texas that is not representative or reflective of Harris County, and the officer gets acquitted. How would you feel? You know, I'm not against it. I think we need to have a national standard, and we need to have a national conversation immediately on what the policy should be. The families that I've shown tapes to now, the two that have already come in, they absolutely do not want those videos released. But we are going to release one here shortly, but I've got to get the permission from the DA first.
Art Acevedo is the police chief for the city of Houston, Texas's largest city. Chief, thanks so much for speaking with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you. Have a good day.